and a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Welcome to the Should Be Right Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and New Edmonton Tough Street Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on your TuneIn Radio app, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon, rainy day here in Boston. But you know what? It's still a great day regardless, because guess what? After yesterday, after a week, absolutely no sports to watch, and really good to have live sports again with everything that's been going on, and especially with 5 days remaining until the election in this country. Tuesday, it's election day. Get out and vote. If your locale is doing early voting, take full advantage. With that being said, it's a great time to be a sports fan in this country, but not a good time to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I know it's crazy. The Dodgers just won the World Series for the first time since 1988, beating the Tampa Bay Rays 3-1 in Game 6. I get it. Fine. I get it completely. If you are thinking, well, Dodger fans have a right to be celebrating and to be happy. They do. It's not a question. But here's one reason why, in particular, I'm here to rain on that parade, so to speak. And that is, number one, Justin Turner. This entire segment is going to be dedicated to specifically Justin Turner in particular, because what he did was not only so selfish, not only was it so negligent, but it was absolutely just grave and dangerous. Hopefully not deadly, because you can't even call it a mistake. You have to call it for what it is. It was a choice. A mistake was something in which that you did that was, you know, a choice, but, you know, I didn't know better. It was an honest mistake. I'm sorry. That wasn't the case with Justin Turner. What it really was I know the rules. I know what it is. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want to do anyway. That's exactly what it was. Justin Turner found out in the seventh inning of Game 6 on Tuesday that he had tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, I'm specifically focusing on that part and not the fact that Major League Baseball got the results in the second inning and that Major League Baseball waited until late in the game to tell Justin Turner that this is not what it's about, although that there is a valid point in terms of that in which that I'm going to make very quickly, and that is Major League Baseball is also to blame in this entire situation. But the bigger problem is Justin Turner still, no matter how you slice and dice it. He's still the bigger issue, and that's what we're going to talk about. What we're all going to talk about also is the fact that Justin Turner knew he had tested positive for COVID-19, and he still went out onto the field after being told that he couldn't. And Major League Baseball officials apparently went out and told him to please leave, and Justin Turner wasn't having any of it. So now you have children, babies on the field with their wives and girlfriends on the field celebrating their World Series title, and you have COVID-19, and you said, you know what? Bump it. I'm just going to go out and do my thing. That I have a major problem with. A real major problem with, because there's this whole idea that part of the reason why the United States of America is in the position that it's still in when it comes to COVID-19 is because of the many selfish individuals who choose not to wear masks and protect themselves and as well as protect others. That's not a narrative. That's the truth. And I hate to tell you that Justin Turner symbolized exactly what is wrong with this society in 2020. He put himself ahead as before the well-being of others. And that has had some absolutely devastating consequences. Don't believe me? Go look at the 230,000 people who are now dead because of COVID-19. And unfortunately, many more will die from this terrible, terrible, terrible pandemic because of the selfishness of others. We are a nation in which where we thrive on me, consume, me. Justin Turner's actions exemplified me. I want to be out there to celebrate, although I have COVID-19, but oh well, me. It's about I. And what you're getting out of it now is, oh, now the other Dodger players and their wives and girlfriends, maybe even their children, needing to be tested for COVID because one said guy did not want to follow protocol and take precaution in protecting others that are around him. How long Major League Baseball knew, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different topic. That's not even where my mind is right now. The issue that I have with Justin Turner also, to go along with everything that I just said, is this as well. If you look at the video and you saw when he was taken out and you saw everything that was unfolding and you see that even after the Dodgers clinched the World Series and he came back out, his attitude was, I'm going to stay out here because I want to celebrate. It's a big moment. It's the biggest moment of my career. I get it. But the fact of the matter is that these aren't ordinary times. These are extraordinary times where people are dying left and right, and you're not willing to put your selfish needs to the side. Especially when you have found out that you've been diagnosed with COVID-19 and you've tested positive. Here's the other issue that I also have with this as well. The other issue that I have is that there are kids involved. Now, I am one who is very, very, very vocal when it comes to protecting kids by all means and at any cost necessary. But especially in the age of COVID-19, where children are among the most vulnerable, they may or may not even have the immune system to be able to combat this disease. Justin Turner's actions told me, oh, I know there are kids nearby, you know, players that are kissing their wives or girlfriends and so forth on the field, you know, embracing their children. They all come in contact with the one man who has COVID, and now their health and possibly their lives are at jeopardy. But of course, you have those that are out there that are saying, no, this COVID-19 is a hoax. It's fake news. I got news for you. I'm not here to get into an argument about if it's fake news or whether if it's a hoax or not. This stuff is real. If you don't believe me, go ask people that have died from this pandemic so far. Let me know what their answer is. Oh, that's right. They can't answer because they're dead. That in itself is the part that is absolutely most grotesque about all of this, is that Turner's actions in so many ways spoke volumes about what is wrong with the society when it comes to taking care of the fellow man and woman next to you and around you. That's the issue that I have. That's the problem that I've had for the longest. And throughout this pandemic, and we've seen this time and time and time again, selfish acts leading to devastating consequences. And if I am Justin Turner, you better be praying to God or whatever he may believe in, that this does not have any devastating consequences for his teammates or his teammates' families. Because if it does, the vitriol and the criticism will be a lot worse than what it is now. There's no excusing what he did. His team just won the World Series. I get it, but we are still in the middle of a pandemic. And that your actions does have consequences. And frankly, Justin Turner, I have liked the player, but I really strongly dislike the actions that I saw on Tuesday night. Here's the thing that also stood out to me, and I think about it now in hindsight. Tuesday night, during the post-game show on FS1, Kevin Burkhardt broke the news that Justin Turner had tested positive for COVID-19, but immediately after, or a short time after, there was a shot of him on the field, taking off his mask, sitting next to the manager, being surrounded by his teammates, taking the World Series photo trophy, being on the field, celebrating with his teammates. I know for a fact that I couldn't possibly have been the only one who was thinking, dude, what on earth are you doing? What are you doing? Like, why are you on the field? But then, of course, you have those that will say, but no, you see, he's on the field. He's fine. He feels great. There's nothing wrong. You see? That selfish thinking and that selfish behavior is the cause and the reason why we're in the position that we're in. I'm sure there's going to be punishment coming down from Major League Baseball. And frankly, it's warranted. I've had my disagreements with Major League Baseball, especially Commissioner Manfred, over the course of the last 10 months. But this one, what I tell you, he absolutely put a lot of people at risk and even in danger due to his selfish actions on Tuesday night. The Dodgers, congratulations to winning the World Series. You have had to overcome quite a bit in these last few years, but now you have an even bigger problem on your hand, and that's Justin Turner and his actions. I hope and pray that he's, in fact, the only one, that no one else turns out to be positive for COVID. I hope that's the case. But Justin Turner's actions exemplify exactly what the problem is in America, because I am absolutely amazed that even up until now that people are still not getting it. Justin Turner showed me that he not only didn't give a damn, but he was just like, no, bump this. Season's over. I'm just going to go out into the field and be with my teammates. Oh, that's wise. I hope that your actions don't result in you paying a heavier price later on for being a complete smart aleck. I hope that above all else, that you understand that your actions do have consequences. And especially if you're not careful, someone could actually die from it. And the worst part about this is that, guess what? You and I, we don't even know what the long-term effects of COVID-19 really is, except for the little bit of information that we have. But there's a lot more that's going to come from this. There's a lot more information that's going to come out about COVID that we haven't learned about yet. But right now, there's a lot of unknown, and that in itself is the part that has me most concerned for the people that were surrounded, that had surrounded Justin Turner. But only time will tell. We'll have to wait and see what happens as to what happens next with Justin Turner and what happens next in terms of the Dodgers, and as well as anyone else who may have come in contact with Justin Turner as well. I think that in itself is going to be the most fascinating about it. And this is a story that I'm going to continue to monitor as well, because there is an awful lot to this that I couldn't believe what I was seeing on TV. And I'm glad there are sports columnists and sports writers from different outlets like Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports, who have come out and written about this, because this is a big deal. This is a huge deal. And we had never seen anything blatant like this on television, not since Rudy Gobert with the infamous video of him coughing into his hands, mocking COVID-19, just days before the NBA had to shut down because he and Donovan Mitchell had tested positive for COVID-19 back on March 11th. We'll see what happens next. Coming up next, why analytics in baseball don't work. I am going to absolutely destroy the analytic ideology that has played this sport, and there's an example as to why it backfired in a big way. That and much more coming up next on the Shooting Rights Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Memphis. This is Shooting Rights. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Memphis. Tell me from Radio Shooting Nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally at WMFO.org.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
From around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM
and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio, only here on WMFO.
Too much of heaven can always turn around. Too much of heaven, our life is all.
else around them. No love, no friendship, nothing else. Just the dollar bill coming on into their pocket, into their bank account. That's too much of him bringing them on the ground. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's called money dependence today. And people just keep on going on looking at the dollar bill.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Just want to go over a couple of quick reminders and housekeeping items in regards to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and that is that this show is available to listen on demand on iHeartRadio. You can find this show and all broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO exclusively this show on iHeartRadio as part of the Shukri Wright's podcast, where you can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and as well as I mentioned, on iHeartRadio. So if you have an iHeartRadio app on your phone, if you have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, you could play this show and all previous broadcasts of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, on even your smart speaker. You can even play it on your smart speaker and say, hey, play the Shukri Wright's podcast. Hey, play the Shukri Wright Show. Or even if you want to listen to the show during the original slot, that's from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Thursdays, you can tell your smart speaker to play WMFO, and it'll play. I've even tried it. It works. So you can listen to the show currently on TuneIn Radio app, or you could also listen to the show on demand as well on iHeartRadio as part of the Shukri Wright's podcast as well. Now, baseball analytics. Ooh, I have a problem. I have a problem with it. So much so that I absolutely come to hate it. And when I mean hate, and I know hate is such a strong word, but I really, really genuinely despise analytics even more so than I did before. Now, I have talked about analytics in baseball before, especially on a different radio show that I also do. Now, a few weeks ago on the Know Your Rights program that I do, that's Wednesdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., on a different radio station, I talked about analytics and why, and basically ripping the Yankees for their decision to basically make decisions based on analytics and so forth. Now, the Tampa Bay Rays do it at the worst time, making a decision based upon analytics, not based upon the moment. I'm going to give you the backdrop of the story. So for those who didn't see what happened or may not have heard, I'm just going to basically present it to you in a nutshell. So game six, Blake Snell, who is a starting pitcher and the ace of the Tampa Bay Rays, he is mowing down Dodger hitters, striking out nine batters in the first five and a third innings. The moment of truth arrives. Sixth inning, Tampa Bay is still up 1-0 in the game. Still up 1-0. And guess what happens? Blake Snell gets the first out, but he allows a single after. You're thinking, no harm, no foul, no big deal. Right? Except Kevin Cash comes out and takes the ball out of Blake Snell's hands, and you could see him on the Fox broadcast literally cursing, saying, "What the bleep?" You could see him expressing his displeasure on the mound before Kevin Cash even took the ball from him, because he knew. And even Cody Bellinger in the post-game show on FS1, he talked about what that moment was like to see Kevin Cash take the ball out of Blake Snell's hands, and that he, among other Dodger players and coaches, were all shocked and surprised. Because, you see, their responses alone told me, yeah, that was the wrong move to make. If your guy is dominating and he is rolling, why are you taking him out? Here's the explanation, according to the Rays manager. He basically was saying the numbers dictate that the Dodgers have a higher batting average against Snell the third time through the lineup, the third time facing Snell. And what does that mean? Oh, I wanted to take him out so that the Dodgers wouldn't have a chance to tee off against Blake Snell. I'm sorry. I'm going to just pause for a moment and gather my thoughts. Kevin Cash, you're in a do-or-die game. You're in a game in which that your ace is dominating. You're pitching well. You're in the lead. Why on earth are you so adamant on making a move based on numbers? What does your eyes tell you? Your eyes should be telling you that Blake Snell is dominating. He has not had any type of trouble tonight. He's only allowed two hits. You know what? I'm not worried about it. I'm going to let him go. Keep going. But no, you decided that, well, the analytics says that, oh, the Dodgers are more successful the third time facing Snell, so I'm going to take him out the game now. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, seriously, I'm going to need you to understand this very notion here. I'm going to need you to also understand that if you are the Tampa Bay Rays, this is why you should be angry with Kevin Cash. And you definitely should be angry with the front office with this one. Analytics are there to guide you. You are not meant to be beholden by analytics. That's what's been happening in baseball too damn much, especially within the last 10 years. Teams have become so beholden by analytics. The Yankees are becoming one of them. The Rays, oh my God, front runners. The Rays and the Athletics, but especially the Athletics. Billy Beane, Moneyball, analytics, yeah, they're the godfathers of all of this bad boy. Yeah, you know, it works in the regular season. Yeah, we won 97 games. Yeah! But guess what? come October. Oh, man. They lost in the division series. Oh, man. They lose in the ALCS. But they got to the World Series and lost because of one singular decision. One singular decision to rule by analytics and not based on what you see. That in itself is a costly mistake, and a mistake that if I'm a Rays fan, that I'm not sure that I could ever possibly let go of. I'd be angry if I was a Rays fan today, even still, because there is absolutely no reason to take him out at all. Baseball has gotten so far away from managing what you see on the field to what does the number say. The number says this. Nah, he's got to go. He's got to go. And I hate it. I hate it so much because if the numbers say, oh, maybe this guy doesn't have success against this pitcher, but he rakes, you're not making decisions based on what you see. You're making a decision based on numbers. Baseball players are not numbers. They are human beings who play the game. You have to manage the game with the human element. If you're going to manage the game based on numbers, then why bother competing for a World Series championship? Because, bluntly put, it hasn't won anybody anything, especially teams that are driven by analytics. You haven't won a damn championship yet. There is no championship yet to show for any team that is driven by analytics. But what about the Dodgers? The Dodgers are to an extent, but you still need the talent and they still have the baseball whereabouts to actually make good decisions. That's the difference between the A's, the Rays, and the Dodgers. I'll dare you to go ahead and point out a team that has had success in the last 10, 15 years in winning a World Series title using analytics, and I'll show you a liar. I'll show you a liar, and I will have no shame in that. In fact, I'll even go as far as to rip that person apart on the show because there is none. For all you baseball nerds, for all you analytic folks that say, well, just give it time. It'll happen. No, it's not going to happen because at the end of the day, baseball was built to be managed with the players and the situation on the field, not by numbers. And what you saw in Game 6 of the World Series, Blake Snell being pulled because numbers dictated that he doesn't have the same success facing the Dodgers a third time through the lineup, was a blow to the analytic community, and I am happy about that. Because moronic decisions does not mean you get rewarded for it. And that was your punishment, losing that World Series. Losing it in the manner in which you did. Okay, you take Blake Snell, you bring in Nick Anderson, and oh, by the way, what does he do? He gives up the tying run. Congratulations. You played yourself, in the words of DJ Khaled. What excuse do you have for yourself today? I don't think you do. I don't think you have much of an excuse. The only thing you really have to fall back on is, well, we've gotten pretty far with analytics, and, you know, it's paid off handsomely. But your manager blew it. Your manager blew it because he decided to go with the book and not with his eyes. You go and look around. Look at these managers in the game today. Aaron Boone in New York. And to an extent, when Alex Cora was manager with the Red Sox, for example, when Bob Melvin was the manager of the Oakland A's. He still is, in fact. You tell me, you go up and down and you look at the World Series winners for the last 15 years. We're going to go back to 2005. Go through all of them, every one of them. You tell me which team has won the World Series using analytics as the forefront of their operation, and I'll show you a liar. Because it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And, of course, including the 2017 Houston Astros, which they have the asterisk because they cheated to win the World Series. There isn't a single World Series winner in the last 15 years that have won with analytics being a driving force. It doesn't work. It's regular season success, but failure in October. I'm truly, genuinely stunned that baseball hasn't caught up to that yet. Regular season success. You may win 95. You may win 97. You may win 100 games. Great. What about when you get to October? How is that going to translate in October? Oh, newsflash, it doesn't. It doesn't translate in October. And that in itself is the part that I feel that is the most damning part about it all. Because you still have the analytics folks, the people who love analytics that'll defend it. You know, the Brian Kings of the world on MLB Network and so forth. I mean, he's an analytics guy. I'm a big fan of his. Love the guy. Love his work on TV. But it's the analytics community that I really have an ire with, because it's like, you say that, oh, there's value in BABIP, all base percentage, blah, blah, blah. Yes, there is, but at the end of the day, if managers are managing the game based on numbers, not based on situations, you're going to have situations like the situation that you had with Kevin Cash on Tuesday night. In game 6. That in itself should serve as enough of a notice to the rest of the analytics community that, hey, this doesn't work in October. It hasn't, it never has, and it never will. I hope that in fact serves as notice that perhaps this is meant to be a regular season tool, not a recipe for October. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a terrific column that Tim Kirchner of ESPN wrote. And I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. He wrote a column on ESPN.com about how baseball made it new, the scariest, et cetera, season ever. That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Memphis. It's Shukri Wright, you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Memphis. Plus we from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as Google Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts, free from radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon. I hope you're staying warm and dry. It is a rainy day out here. Man, listen, and then we're supposed to get our first snowstorm tomorrow, and it's not even winter yet. We're still in fall. Go figure. But all in all, fun times here in New England as we are now entering Halloween weekend. You know, so a lot of Halloween-themed activities are, you know, beginning to appear on TV. And, you know, some people, I don't know, like, what people are planning to do for Halloween. like if they're even doing that at all this year, given the pandemic. It's usually a busy time of year, especially in these parts. Usually in Salem, there's a bunch of things going on, but I'm not so sure of that. That'll even be happening at all because of COVID this year. But nonetheless, one thing I will say is this: baseball in itself has had an awful lot to celebrate and to really appreciate in 2020, because it has been absolutely insane. Just think about this for a moment. Like, if we go back to February of this year, and I mean, obviously no one could have like foretell or could have foreseen what was to come the following month and what has happened since. There's just no way. There's no way at all. And if we go back to February and you told me that baseball would have to go on pause because of a pandemic, but it will come back and play 60 games for this regular season and then the postseason, expand the postseason, would you have believed me? I don't think anyone would have believed me if I had predicted that back in February. There was just no way of knowing, no way of telling. So when you look back on just how absolutely remarkable that in itself is, you're going to be left to scratching your head and just thinking, wow, because that's where we were in February, starting spring training. Mookie Betts just got traded from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. You know, you have the Padres, you know, like they were expecting bigger things to come this coming season. Emergence of Fernando Tatis, and you know, like you look at the AL East and the Rays. Well, I mean, you expected the Rays to be a contender again for playoffs and so forth. And in the AL Central, there was a lot of talk about the White Sox, you know, taking that next step forward, especially with his pitching staff. You know, Lucas Giolito looked absolutely fantastic. You know, he had that no hitter. All of those things, and just thinking about where baseball was to start the season, and then when baseball was able to finally return, albeit with no fans, it was like, okay, this is wonderful. Welcome back, baseball. And then there are people that are saying, oh, no. Baseball, this should be an asterisk to whoever win the World Series this year. And I said at the time, I think that's a bunch of BS, because this year, with everything that's going on, with everything that has happened, with everything that has transpired, it makes it even more meaningful to win a World Series this year. Go ask the Dodgers or any team that would have won the World Series this year. It would have made it all the more special, all the more like meaningful. And when you look back on this year, and you look at baseball this calendar year, I'm not going to be able to help but just think, yeah, this has been the craziest, strangest, wildest year that we've ever seen in the history of baseball. Tim Kirchen, he's a senior writer that covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. He had a column that was published this morning, and it was a beautifully written column. And I want to go through it, you know, piece by piece, little by little. And he starts off the column by writing, quote, "The weirdest, strangest, wackiest, smartest, stupidest, best, worst season in baseball history is finally over. And it's not clear if we should be happy or sad. Major League Baseball brought us so much pleasure, but also such a large measure of pain." For me, that pain really was the in-house fighting that went on between the players and the owners during the summer, debating over how many games, prorated salaries, all that fun stuff. And that really angered me to a point where I said, you know what, to hell with the sport. I really felt that way at one point. I really genuinely did. And I was just so frustrated with the fact that, seriously, there was no live sports. Hockey hadn't even returned yet. The NBA hadn't even returned. We're talking about back in June, by the way. The NBA hadn't even returned yet. Hockey hadn't even returned yet. Nothing. You had the opportunity to be America's pastime, show that it can be done, playing games and so forth, albeit with no fans. And back in June, when they were fighting over money, I honestly couldn't have foreseen what was to come. And Incursion continues in the same column. He wrote, quote, "It was a great season because miraculously it was completed. It started with national star outfielder Juan Soto testing positive for COVID-19 a few hours before the season opener, and it ended with the Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner being removed in the eighth inning of Game 6 of the World Series because of a positive test for the coronavirus. In between, in late July, the Miami Marlins had an outbreak. Soon after, so did the St. Louis Cardinals. It nearly destroyed their seasons and the seasons of every team." I couldn't agree more. Because if you remember, if you go back to listen to some to a couple of the shows that I did back in July, I was extremely skeptical if baseball was going to be able to complete its season because they were not playing in a bubble. I was very vocal about that. I didn't believe that they were going to be able to. I said, there's no way. I don't see how. Teams are having to, you know, not play a week because of COVID. Teams are going to have to go and, you know, shuffle players from the alternate side to put onto the major league roster because players can't play because of COVID or outbreaks on teams and so forth. I just had my doubts. I had my doubts, no questions asked about it, that baseball was not going to be able to complete its season. And here's what's interesting. I was wrong. We were wrong. Those who said that the season couldn't be completed because of COVID couldn't be more wrong. And I'm telling you, because another reason, and Incursion writes this other piece in which he mentioned in this column, and in this beautifully written column, quote, "It was a great season because of the team storylines. The Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series for the first time since 1988, and they came back to win from a 3-1 deficit against the Atlanta Braves in the National League Championship Series for the first time in franchise history. They came back from one of the worst losses in World Series annals, that magical Game 4 loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. Clayton Kershaw had an exceptional World Series, though not quite as good as Dodgers shortstop Corey Seager, the series MVP, ending the ridiculous narrative that he doesn't have the stomach for a big game. He has pitched in 11 postseason elimination games, 6 as a starter, and has more strikeouts than any pitcher in postseason history." And that was also the other part of it, because so much has been talked about Clayton Kershaw over the years, and I've even talked about how Kershaw doesn't perform well in the big games. I pointed back to 2013, 2014, 2015, heck, even 2016, that Kershaw, he can't pitch in the big game. He can't win the big one. That narrative had followed him for years, and I mean years, to the point that, let's be honest, it weighed on him. And you could see the big sigh of relief because, let's face it, Kershaw won 2 games in this World Series. He won 2 games. He won you game 2, and he won you game 5. So he won you half the games that the Dodgers needed to win in order to win the World Series. He didn't just pitch well. He pitched exceptional. And you look at the other storylines for the things that happened from this 2020 Major League Baseball season, which I'm sure this will be one season that none of us is ever going to forget. The Miami Marlins. How about the Miami Marlins? And if we went back to February, we went back to at the beginning of March, I'm sorry, before the shutdown, and if you told me that the Miami Marlins were going to make the postseason, I would have laughed in your face and told you, get out. You must be high. there's no way. There's not a fighting chance in hell that the Miami Marlins were going to make the postseason. The fact that they even used 9 starting pitchers and 27 different pitchers in the first 9 games of the season, and they had to use 61 players in 60 games, is absolutely astounding. And yes, that's taken into consideration with the fact they had an outbreak for the coronavirus as well. But nonetheless, it's still astounding. The more that you think about it and you try to wrap your mind around it, I don't even think you can. It's amazing what they were able to do. And then also, you can't talk about the 2020 Major League Baseball postseason without talking about Rays outfielder, who's a rookie, Randy Arozarena. You just can't. What Randy Arozarena was able to do this entire October, despite the Rays not winning the World Series, is absolutely historic. This is a guy who defected from Cuba at age 20. He spent 8 hours in a small boat, and then he went on a plane in Mexico, signing with the Cardinals, and then on top of that, the Rays acquired him in a trade with the St. Louis Cardinals back in January. And what does he do this postseason? He set the new Major League record for most home runs in a single postseason, along with the most hits. He had 10 home runs. He had 29 hits, which broke the rookie record that was previously held by Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees in 1996. You can't sit here and tell me that in itself is not absolutely amazing. And the story of Arozarena is something that only happens in baseball. You don't find it happening in the NFL. You don't find this happening in the NBA. Hockey, oh, that's extremely rare. That's like one in every, 200? And in the NHL, it's harder to even do. So his story on both a sports level and as well as a professional level is absolutely astounding and amazing. No matter how you may want to slice and dice it, but that's just the truth. I can't believe that here we are. We're talking about this is the end of the 2020 Major League Baseball season as we knew it. And then we can't also talk about the 2020 season without talking about one Fernando Tatis Jr. I have fallen in love with Fernando Tatis Jr. overnight. I'm serious. I mean, this guy is absolutely electric and an absolute stud. And there's nothing that anyone could sit here and tell me otherwise. This whole notion of, well, remember back in during the season when the Padres were playing the Rangers? And Fernando Tatis hit a grand slam against the Texas Rangers on a 3-0 count. That whole hogwash about he shouldn't have swung on 3-0. He violated the unwritten rules of baseball. It's a bunch of baloney. Yeah, that same guy. That dude can play, and that dude can hit and hit for power. There's a reason why Manny Machado was brought to San Diego. He is going to serve as a mentor to Fernando Tatis Jr., especially given that Machado is signed there long-term. And that in itself is absolutely amazing and remarkable the more that I think about it. And what has been an absolutely crazy 2020 Major League Baseball season, I can't help but to think, I hope that we never have to live through anything like this again. And that only time will tell. In history, we'll be able to look back on this season and say, what a season, what a ride. Coming up next, final thoughts, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Memphis. This is Shukri Wright, you're listening to 91.5 FM. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. And it's time for final thoughts. But yours truly, Shukri Raitso, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. It has been a crazy couple of weeks, a crazy month of October in the world of sports, in which you saw the NBA champion being crowned. You saw Major League Baseball crown a new World Series champion. All in all, both from the same city. Los Angeles Lakers winning the NBA title. The Los Angeles Dodgers winning the NBA title. Both franchises haven't gone through extended championship droughts. Lakers haven't won since 2010 when the late Kobe Bryant won his final championship with the Lakers. And then the Dodgers haven't won the World Series since 1988. You talk about a feeling of euphoria in Los Angeles right now. You got to give credit where it's due. And you know, like with everything else that's been going on in the world of sports, you know, with the NFL season now at its halfway point, now we're week 8 starting tonight. How about that? How do you like that? It is absolutely going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds, especially with this weekend and the second half of the NFL season coming up. I am intrigued to see how the pretenders will continue to distance themselves from the contenders in both the AFC and the NFC playoff picture. And as we head to the NBA free agency period, as well as the MLB hot stove, there will be a lot of news happening in regards to that, especially one in which that earlier today, there was a report that the NBA Players Association was adamantly against restarting the season on December 22nd, and that there could be potential financial ramifications if the season does not start before Christmas, which is something that the NBA is looking to avoid. And that's going to be something to be keeping an eye out for, because I definitely do think that the NBA has a lot to lose financially if they don't get the season started before Christmas. And I understand why the Players Association will be against it. And that is because they just wrapped up the NBA season just a little more than 3 weeks ago. And that for teams who just played in the bubble, I understand the pushback. But for teams who didn't even make it to the bubble for a resumption of play to fight for a playoff spot, I don't see a reason why they wouldn't want to start before December 25th, specifically on December 22nd. What is there to lose exactly? I don't see the loss. If anything, this proves to me in which that the NBA is looking to return soon, which excites me because, listen, football, I love football and all, but I just don't see how this possibly could work in terms of just football and the NFL being the only things to watch in terms of pro sports and collegiate sports, that is. And that's it. I'm just ready for hockey to return, the NBA to return, you know, to fill up my winter sports programming and things to watch on television. With all of that being said, that is going to wrap it up for this week's show. For the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, it's been a blast being back with you this week. I'll be back with you again next week. This is Shukri Wright. Looking forward to talking to you then. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. I'll talk to you again next week. Take care.
Oh, you were just listening to the Shukri Wright Show. And up next, it's going to be 60 Musical Minutes with Maggie on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. If you're a sports fan, I could not recommend Shukri Show enough. He's a lovely guy. I've met him before in the studio. He actually let my friend